Psalm 128 in your Bible tonight. Psalm 128, we're going to read the first three verses. The message you will hear tonight is not very doctrinal in nature. It's far more practical than it is doctrinal. And we will be discussing building our family a little bit on Sunday night. I wanted to incorporate the Lord's Supper into the message tonight because this is the first Sunday of this quarter of our new year. And we always observe the Lord's table on that Sunday evening. So we'll be doing that at the close of the message in just a few moments. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's Word. Psalm 128, and we're reading the first three verses. Please join me on verse 2. And our Bible says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table." Dear Father, bless us, I pray, in your word tonight as we come to this passage. I pray that you'll give us an understanding and an enlightenment. And Lord, I pray, God, that we'll take the practical information, use it for the benefit of our homes, our families. Thank you so much for the institution of the home, marriage, children. Lord, it's blessing. It's a little heaven on earth. We enjoy it, love it. Help us to have strong families in this day. Help me tonight. Help our people. Lord, may we enjoy the service time together in your book. In Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
He was led to a rock pile on the outskirts of town. There nailed to a torturous rack as his mockers gathered round. A blackened sky smoked like thunder when he finally bowed his head. He who had given life back hung there dead. And my cares all fell away. It made me feel like life had just begun. He said all of my trials can be turned into triumphs through the victory He's already won. So I talked to Him today, and the comfort that He gave
of a man they said had died on a cross for you and me. She wondered who that man was that had paid for all her sin, and they showed her how he could be her friend. They said, "Just trust in Him today. He will wash your sin away. He will make you feel like life has just begun." He said all of my trials can be turned into triumphs through the victory He's already won.
Places that promoting the idea that the bus ministry doesn't work and it's served its purpose, it's outdated. I beg to differ with that. And I'm going to tell you what, you'd be shocked how many adults are sitting here today because their children were reached. And then, you know, God gets in the family, goes to work, makes a difference. Amen. It's wonderful, wonderful, just wonderful. So that's wonderful. It's good music for us tonight. I want to speak to you on the subject tonight, the importance of the table. I'm going to look at verse number 3 with you. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. The importance of the table. I have been on this subject before years ago, and so I want to bring it again to our attention tonight because of the theme of this evening and the theme of this month as we talk about building our family on Sunday night. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for a risen Savior that can change a life and change a family. And oh God, we've seen that happen so many times and rejoice in it. May you just keep saving folks and changing lives. Thank you for the many, many people who make the bus ministry work. Lord, not only that ministry, but all the other outreach ministries here, the tract distribution, Lord, the door knocking, the soul winning, the nursing home. On and on, the radio broadcast, everything. Just, Lord, make us a soul-winning church. Keep us on the at the gates of hell, if you will, please. And I know that you'll bless us if we stay there. Help me tonight. Give us some good time here in the book. And help us, I pray, and help our families this month. In Jesus' name, amen. In Psalm 128, anybody can read the psalm and get something out of it for their own personal life. The Bible is like that. It applies to everybody. But it is obvious that the psalmist is speaking specifically to a husband and a dad in some of these verses, particularly in verse number 3. He says, thy wife. Later on in the verse, he says, thy children. At the end of the verse, he says, thy table. Thy wife, thy children, thy table. Now, here are some specific blessings for a man, a husband, a dad who fears God and walks in His ways. There's nothing wrong with a reverential awe of God. That's the kind of fear that the Bible tells us to have. You know, that kind of fear will alter our behavior. It really will. It's a reverential fear. It's the same kind of fear that you get when you pass the policeman. You go down the road, he's coming at you, and you automatically, your foot, I don't care if you're not breaking the law, your foot comes off the gas pedal. And then you're looking in the rearview mirror. Is he turning around? And there's nothing wrong with that. That's the bubble on the... And boy, they're getting sharp, man. They're getting really... They're these, what do they call those? They're unmarked cars. You see them out there in Camaros, amen, and Firebirds and everything tearing up and down the interstate. And but anyway, that reverential fear. That's a good kind of fear, a reverential awe of God. It affects our behavior. So here's some specific blessings for the man, the husband, the dad who fears God and walks in His ways. The man has a wife in this verse. The man has children in this verse. And the man has a table. He has a table. Now, there are no accidents in the Word of God. There's no part of this that's filler. Okay, even the genealogies, it takes a little, lumbering through them for me, I'll be honest with you. There are other passages in the Old Testament that I lumber through, but it's not filler. There's no filler material. Everything is here on purpose. No words just to take up space. And so I believe that the word table is important here, as all the other words are. The man has a wife, the man has children, and the man has a table. Now, personally, I believe one of the most important places for a family is the table. I'm so convinced of that, and I wish I could convince you of that tonight. And I know I'm preaching to some people whose children are gone. I understand that, Dad, that, you know, and it's still you and the wife, or you and your husband sitting around the table, but there are a lot of young couples in this church with still lots of small children and middle-aged children, so forth, junior-aged kids and teenagers, and I hope I can convince you tonight of just how important to your family the table is at any age, at any stage in your family life. All right. The table has long been the place where the family gathers together. Now, those of you who've been here over the years, you've heard me make mention of the fact that I believe the table and the time at the table is important and should be practiced as much as possible. I believe that it is vital to the building of a family. And for many reasons, we live in a very mobile, fast-paced society. People are on the go. Some of it is involuntary. Some of it is voluntary. That's the honest truth. Some of our going is according to our choosing. The work world is very demanding. And in our particular town, many of the men in our church drive quite a ways to go to their place of work. And they work long hours. And some of the men in our church work 12-hour days. And sometimes they're on the road 14 hours and so forth and so on. And so this is the kind of society that we're growing in, the kind of society in which we live today. It's a very fast-paced, mobile society. Now, as your family grows older, the children sometimes get a small job, or if they are in school, they sometimes have schedules with ball games, or they have schedule with other extracurricular activities, or this is going on, that goes on. Life gets busy. And if you're not careful, time at the table slips away. I'm talking about the entire family now. I'm talking about dad, mom, and children. Time at the table slips away. It's part of the family there. And I know some of that can't be helped. Some of that can't be. But I think we have to be careful. Here's it. I can't take you to a verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt sit down at your table as a family and have a meal. But I want to say to all of us tonight that we need to fight to protect the helpful practice of being around the table together as a family. Once a day or as many times during the week as possible. I mean, we need to fight to protect that. There are schedules that just simply do not allow for very much of that. I understand that. And I don't want you to get depressed if you're in a situation where we can't do it. Our time together as a family around the table is so limited because of work schedules and so forth. I don't want you to be depressed about this. This may not be life and death, but I want to say this. If you control the schedule, take time for the table. Take time for the table. If you have any control over your schedule, you'll be very wise to take the time together as a family at the table. Make as many changes in the schedule as you can to allow for it. If your husband comes home late for work, then get the children in the habit of doing the homework and the chores before supper and have supper just as late as you can possibly have it so that dad can sit down with wife and children and have a meal together around that table, as many at the family as you can get there. Change the schedule of your mealtime. If you're a second shift worker, maybe you could try breakfast together around the table. I'm just saying, I can't take you to a verse tonight in the Bible that says, thou shalt sit down at the table together as a family and enjoy a meal. But I can tell you that in this verse, here's a man who has a wife, here's a man who has children, and here's a man who has a table. And the table has long been the place of gathering for the family. And the more our society just rushes headlong into work and busyness, the more the table gets crowded out of our family life. And you got people grabbing a bite on the run, eating here, eating there, eating at different times. And before you know it, a week passes, 14 days pass, 21 days pass, and it's been that long since you sat together as a family at a table and had a meal together. And I'm telling you the importance of the table tonight. The table is vitally, vitally important. I believe for several reasons. First of all, I believe the table is vital and important for fellowship. Fellowship. What do you do when you want to get together with a friend? 9 times out of 10, you'll say to them, hey, let's have lunch together. Hey, can we go out to dinner? Can you meet me at the restaurant? Can we get together? What happens when extended family comes for a visit? What happens in the summertime when the extended family comes home for a visit and that's everybody? Let's have a meal together. And the family gets together at a table for food. A family gets together at a table for fellowship. And the fellowship is wonderful. You know, I remember as a child when my missionary aunt and uncle came home from Chile first and then Spain later. And at that time in the life of their family, they had all boys. I can't remember her name right now. That's great, isn't it? My cousin. She came later on. I think there's four boys, five boys, and then the girl came. And what is her name? Rebecca. Thank you, wife. I appreciate that. She knows my family better than I know my family. Amen. So, Rebecca Clark. No, Becky. That's right. Becky. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So just one of those senior moments, I guess. I don't know. Comes on. I just couldn't remember her name. She lives up in Minnesota. I know that. Yeah, that's her. Amen. What's that? I said Minnesota. You trying to help me still? Okay. It's good to have a wife bail you out. Amen. So, but she wasn't alone yet. It was all the boys. And when the boys, they would come home from the mission field, everybody would come. We'd get together. And I can remember as a boy so vividly being with my cousins. And I mean, we're roaring around. We're having the time of our lives. And we would pass by. And the adults would all be gathered around the table. The meal would be long finished. The food was long consumed. But the adults were still there. And I can remember them just as vividly as yesterday. I can see them laughing. I can see them eating. I can see them talking. I can see them around the table together as a group of extended family members having such wonderful fellowship. I remember that as if it was yesterday. And every family must. Every family needs to experience that when it is mealtime around the table. Every family ought to experience that fellowship of being together. Who better to fellowship with than your family members? We look forward to fellowship with friends. We look forward to fellowship with extended family members. And then we drudge through time with those who are the closest to us. Can I say that ought not so to be? It ought to be a wonderful time. Don't complain about the food. Don't deal with behavioral problems or troubles. Don't do that. And don't be rushed. Man, I can remember a few times when we had all the children at the house. I remember a few times we sat around the table for a couple of hours after the meal had ended. Just fellowshipping. Laughing together and joking and talking and enjoying time together around the table. Don't answer the phone. You know, one of the advanced matters of technology that's a blessing is these answering machines and voicemails and caller ID. Yeah, come on now. You use it. You have it. Yeah. But don't answer the phone. Let it ring. I've learned if it's important, they'll call back. Two or three times. But sit there and enjoy some fellowship. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that God places the solitary in families. He takes the solitary, He takes the one who is alone and places them in, a family. And I'm convinced that one of the reasons for that is fellowship. Fellowship is vitally important in the life of every believer. And some of the best fellowship you have ought to be right there around the table in your own home with your own family members. It's good for fellowship. Number two, it's good for communication. The table provides a great place to talk to and to talk with each other. And it is so vitally important for families to learn to talk and communicate with each other. You know, friendships can be distanced when two people break off communication. Do you know that? There are men in the ministry that I am not as close to today as I was some years ago simply because our access to each other is not as great as it used to be. We don't talk as much as we used to. There's something about that communication. There's something about that talking with each other that keeps your heart bonded, that keeps you bonded with each other. And one of the best ways to keep your hearts tied to someone is through communication. I will say this tonight. I said this is not very doctrinal, but it's extremely practical. There is a difference in communication and conversation. Conversation is light. Conversation is shallow. Conversation is all on the surface. Communication is deep. Communication is under the surface. Communication is taking what is in the heart and exposing it to those who are around you. You know, I can't see my wife's heart. I can't read her mind. The only way I'll ever know what she's thinking, how she feels, is if she tells me, and vice versa, and so with the children. And the parents can't know unless the children talk to them. And I'm talking about something more than, boy, it was a nice day. Yeah, the sun was bright. Yeah, the temperature was moderate. How was school? Oh, it was fine. That's all conversation. Communication is getting down where your thoughts and your feelings and your motives, your emotions are, and start sharing those with each other. And when you start really trying to make your table special, it may mostly be just conversation at the beginning. But that's okay. If you'll just practice conversation, it will eventually lead to communication. You can't have communication until you get involved in conversation. You have to start somewhere. Why would you eat a meal in silence? You know Tom Bryant down here in Lincoln, Illinois, longtime administrator, Park Meadows Baptist Church. Son Eric works over here at Dwight Baptist Academy, been a blessing to us over and over again. Got two daughters married to preachers. One's married to Corey Bain in Delaware, Ohio, and one's married to Randy Ralston out in Reno, Nevada. Wonderful family. I mean, the guy just, he and his wife, Carolyn, did such a wonderful job. And Tom Bryant told me one time that when his children were home, when they were little and growing up, the five of them would sit around the table sometime for 2 to 3 hours just talking. Just talking. Now, the average family, well, why would you want to do that? Why would you not want to do that? That's what I'm getting at tonight. Time around the table. Now look, folks, you can put the investment into your children now, or you can put the investment into them when they're 28 and 30 and 35 and 40 and keep you in bondage, running you everywhere. Amen. That's true. You can do one or the other. There's no sense in this, you know, having children in your home if you're not going to put the time in them, invest in them, talk with them, get them in the habit of not just conversation, but communication, talking to you and you talking to them. I mean, sharing what's on their hearts, creating an atmosphere where your children are comfortable talking to you. The only time some of you dads ever talk with your kids is when they're in trouble. So the only time you really sit down and talk with them is when it's time to have a discipline session. And I'm telling you that around the table, there is a great opportunity to create an atmosphere that will encourage your children to talk. And you don't deal with discipline problems around the table. You talk about school. You talk about what's on their heart. You talk about what's on their mind. The wife can talk. The husband can talk. Dad talks. Mom talks. The children talk. Create an atmosphere of conversation and also communication around the table. Now, when the kids get older, they think. They have questions. I can remember one time a decision I made here at the church. And one of those times we were sitting around the table as the eight of us. And I can remember Ben. And we were just talking. And visiting with each other and just talking. And he spoke up and he said, Dad. And I could always tell when he was really serious about something. It was something really on his heart. He had a way he held his head. The way he just said the words. And he had his head in that important position. And he had those words coming out. He said, Dad, he said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He said, you made this decision for the church. He said, why did you decide that? Now, he wasn't trying to debate. And his intention was not to argue. And it was not confrontational. What it was just a young man trying to come to grips with a decision that his dad made. Can you explain this to me? That's what it was. And it was at the table that I explained to that young man. I don't know how old he was, probably junior high age, because it directly affected him. And I can remember in his age, and I can remember explaining the thing to him that evening around the table. It's creating an atmosphere where it's easy for the young people to talk. It's easy for dad to talk. It's easy for mom to talk. They know there's a place where they can come to the table and talk about what's on their heart and talk about what's on their mind, mom, dad, and the children. Dr. John R. Rice used to use his table for family devotions every morning. He had six girls. And every morning they used to use their table for family devotions. Dr. Rice was an evangelist. He was gone many times, but every time he was in town, every day he was in town, they started their day with breakfast and devotions together as a family. It fit his schedule better, and that's how they did it. Now, I want to tell you what the number one enemy is to communication at mealtime. Television. I'm shocked at how many people do gather on the table together and do nothing but stuff food in their mouth and watch a box play. I'm shocked. I will tell you something, folks. It's not just the presence of the negative. It's the absence of the positive. Now, the average family grabs a plate, and one person goes to the bedroom to eat and watch TV, and the other person goes to the family room to watch TV and eat, and the other person goes here to watch TV, or the worst thing in the world, put a television right there in the kitchen where everybody just sits at the table and does this all night long. That's wasting good, precious time. It could be invested in your family. Turn that detrimental box off and start developing an atmosphere of talking to each other at the table. Communication is so vital. It's what the table provides. The table provides a place for fellowship. The table provides a place for communication. That's why the table is so important. That's why I believe you ought to work hard to protect it. And I mean, you can ask her. She's sitting out here tonight. You already have heard her help me out. And I got other ears sitting out there tonight. You can ask them how much I try to protect that time around the table. When can we get together and eat today? What time? We try to do it at a certain specific time every night. Sometimes it's not always possible at that particular time. But I am always grabbing at those opportunities to come together as a family and sit down there. I have seen the importance of it. I've seen the importance when it comes to fellowship. I've seen the importance when it comes to communication. And then I think there's a third reason. I think memories. Around the table, memories. I'm going to say something to you young couples tonight. You will be shocked at how quickly the seats at your table will empty. You'll be shocked. It wasn't that many years ago that we were eight of us. Now there are five. In a few months, three, four, it'll be four. In 1 year, there'll be three. Memories. That is absolutely hard for me to imagine. A table at my house with three people around. Three. That third one will be around for a few years, though. Amen. So. Some of you got one. Some of you need to smile. You're such an advertisement for selfishness, folks. Put a smile on your face tonight. I wouldn't come to church if it was this boring. If it was this hard for you to sit through it, I'd stay home. I really would. I don't think I could handle it. Oh, mercy. Phew, gone. One of our girls, she was in the high chair. At the end of every meal, we get out of the high chair. I mean, every meal without fail. And nobody prompted it. The older ones, they got to watch it for it. Of course, Joyce and I watched for it. Girl would eat her meal at the high chair and then or the booster seat. And then when she was done, she just got out of her chair, walked around the table, climbed up in my lap. I finished my food every night with that little girl in my lap every night. That's a memory that's precious to me. And I get to be the one up here talking. I could go around the room tonight. Some of you folks who sit with your husband and your wife and the seats are all empty now, you could give testimony tonight about memories you have around the table. The table. It's that important. Go on vacation if you can. I think it's helpful. I think it's a healthy thing for a family to vacation. Plan some special things if you can. Create some traditions if you can. But friend, don't bypass, don't miss the one that's right in front of you. Well, we just can't, you know, we can't afford to go on vacation. And we can't do this and we can't do that. But you miss the one that's right there in front of you. The one that's, it's inexpensive. It's there. It's accessible. The consistent opportunity to grab your family and come together and enjoy some home-cooked food and create some memories and carry on some communication and have some deep fellowship, man. Look, from my boyhood, I remember the vacations. My dad and mom were pretty good about vacations. And they loved Florida. That's where we went. Florida, Florida. 1 year we went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Mom, dad, and us three boys in a Volkswagen Bug. And Tom was in the rumble seat. Remember the rumble seat on the Volkswagen Bugs? Yep. Up the, I won't forget that. Oh, man. And one time we went up north. We went to see my aunt and uncle in Washington, in Baltimore, Maryland. And we decided one day we'd go to Washington, D.C., and we chose the day that Leonard Brezhnev, some of you old-timers remember him, Russian President Brezhnev, he was in town. Buddy, that whole place was shut down. They had police everywhere. And we drove around the Washington Monument 25 times, around and around. And my mom kept saying, Robert, can't you turn? He said, I'm trying to turn. He stopped and asked for a policeman. All of them, get moving, you know. And we drove around the Washington Monument 25 times. Finally, we got out of that circle, and my dad went straight to Baltimore, Maryland. He went straight back to my uncle's house. I remember those vacations. I do. They were fun. I remember fishing with my dad, but vacations were once a year. That's all. We didn't go twice, for sure. Once a year. I remember fishing with my dad and my brothers two or three times a year. I remember ball games several times a year. We'd play ball together. But the one thing I remember above all others, at 6 o'clock every night, we came to that table. I didn't get saved until I was 18. That's my fault, not theirs. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm convinced with all my heart that even though I was lost, unsaved, that consistent getting together around that table together as a family built some stability in us. And I am confident it'll do the same thing in your home and mine. Spend some time around the table. Plan it, schedule it, rework your schedule, do what you have to do to get that time around the table together as a family for fellowship, for communication, and for memory's sake. You'll be so glad you did. It must be an important place because the Lord has a table. The Lord doesn't have a family room. The Lord doesn't have a kitchen. The Lord doesn't have a basement. The Lord has a table. He has a table. He had a table in the tabernacle in the Old Testament. It was called the table of showbread. A place where the priest would place the showbread every morning. He has a table in the local New Testament church. It's this piece of furniture that we call the Lord's table down here, but it doesn't have to look like this. It doesn't have to have gold plates on it like this. We're able to have that, and it's nice, and we enjoy it, but it's that place doesn't have to be wood. It's that place doesn't have to be gold plates like this. It's that place where the local church family comes together as a group in order to remember the body and the blood of our precious Savior. And Jesus expects every church family to gather around His table and remember. That's the purpose of it. This do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. There is a memory that Christ wants us to keep fresh. It is that memory of His death on the cross. It is the memory of the body that is represented by the bread we'll pass here in just a few moments. It's a memory of His blood represented by the juice that we will pass here in just a few moments. Both of these provide a mental picture of our Savior's death on that cross, a death that purchased for us free salvation. And Jesus Christ said, when the church age begins, when it starts, I want the local church, as often as they want to do it, I want them to come around my table for memory's sake and never forget the great price that was paid for our salvation. Now, I suggest that if the Lord has a table, and by the way, this table is for fellowship, and this table is for communication, and this table is for memory's sake. And if the Lord has a table, it must be a pretty important piece of furniture. And the table in my house and the table in your house, whether it's in your kitchen, your breakfast room, your dining room, or no matter where it is, if it's on the deck in the summertime, if it's around a campfire with hot dogs on a stick, no matter where it is, if it's just husband and wife, or if it's the husband and wife and the children who are left at home, the husband and wife and the children, all the children still at home, that table is incredibly important for the well-being of our families. Don't let a busy society crowd it out of your life. Make time for it. Enjoy it. Create that communication, that atmosphere, a place of fun. I remember Elaine McDonald grew up out in Marshalltown, Iowa. Went to the Fellowship Baptist Church. Years ago, that was the church in Iowa. Glenn Jasper's a pastor. Five children, I believe. Well, Dr. Jasper's heard him one time preaching on the family down at Washington, Iowa, and he said, he was talking about the family getting around the table together, and he said, I try to keep the thing fun and exciting. I try to keep the atmosphere loose at the table. He said, if it's a little tense and a little quiet, he said, I'll do something to just stir everybody up. He said, one time I just asked for the butter. Please pass the butter. He said, I stood up with the butter plate and stuck it to the ceiling. Sat back down. So let's just see how long that stays up there. Kids thinking, it's crazy. Wow, man. Before it was done, they were all looking up there, watching that butter plate. Everybody's happy and talking again. And they're all yakking. Maybe he wasn't so crazy. Maybe he understood the importance of a family coming together and creating an atmosphere of communication, fellowship, and memory. Hey, those of you where they are gone, what's one of the happiest times in your life now? When what? You get them all back home around the table. There's. Man. So while you've got those little children in your home, learn the importance of the table. Society is trying to crowd it out. Don't let them do it. Protect it. Make it special. It'll be to your benefit. That's my practical message tonight. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening.